Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
All righty, we start at the beginning of a great new week here on Political Coffee. Yes, politics with a cup of coffee, because that allows you the process of drinking a cup of coffee. At least it is with me. I don't know about you, but I hope it is with you. The time to reflect and ponder as you're beginning your day, or maybe you're just seeking a little pick-me-up through the day. Either way, pondering things that are important in your life politically is something you should do, because the purpose of this radio show, as you know, is to help you change your world, help you persuade the persuadable. And we do that by talking about things that are actually relevant to our lives, both internationally, nationally, and right here in Oregon. And we do that with hopefully thoughtful questions and other things, sometimes having a little fun, like this one. You love headlines. I saw this on Breitbart, and I just had to laugh. Here's the headline. Oklahoma woman accidentally shot in the leg by Labrador puppy. Okay, that's a good one. There's another headline, however. Now, that's not political, except that there's going to be a whole lot of new gun bills here in Oregon. What is it that comedian Ron White used to say? You can't fix stupid. Yeah, it doesn't matter what you do with gun laws for all kinds of things, like, say, making you put your gun in a safe, turning you into a criminal if somebody breaks into your home because you didn't have your gun in a safe, stole the gun, and then uses it in the commission of a crime. Yep, that's a law that was proposed, number one, in the last, that's a couple of legislative sessions, and is now part of an initiative here in Oregon. Now, all of this leads us to a story about guns in Oregon. What you need to know. That's a headline. We're going to talk about that, because this ain't going away, folks. Believe me. It is going to be here, and it is going to stay. Yeah. On a side note, did you know that Dick's Sporting Goods, you know, I'm probably not going to support those people, probably not going to darken their door. I'm not going to buy anything from them. Because of the knee-jerk reaction to all of this stupidity around your Second Amendment right to keep and bear an arm, to keep you safe from bad guys, and to frankly keep you safe from a tyrannical government. Yes, you heard me right. Dick's destroyed $5 million worth of quote-unquote assault rifles to keep them off the street. Now just think about that for a moment. Really? Dick's destroyed $5 million worth of assault rifles just to keep him off the street. What? You mean you couldn't find some leftover Obama-era program buried somewhere in some bureaucracy to sell them to the Mexican drug cartels like Obama did? Also, we're going to play a game today of who said, all right, who said this? Quote, Donald, you used to own a casino. You know the house always wins, unquote. Who said that? I'm just curious. Who said it? By the way, there's an interesting, did you see this poll? 57% of Americans support the probe of Joe Biden and his son in the Ukraine and China actions. Friends, I'm telling you that it is much deeper than that. That's just the beginning. Last night I was watching, again, you know, on weekends I tried to just stay away from politics. I know there's a lot of great shows that are out there on the weekends that are, especially on Fox. Well, one of them is Steve Hilton, you know, the Englishman, who has come to this country legally, by the way. And Steve Hilton was talking about this whole Biden thing. We know a lot about this because it's all anybody's ever talked about, it seems. But he brought up some things I didn't know. Is that the hypocrisy of some of politicians, it's just beyond. We know it. We sort of expect that from politics. Isn't that sad? People who say to you, take a public position on one thing and then do another. And what Steve Hilton talked about last night with this whole Ukraine business, which I found very interesting, which I didn't know, is that a couple of Democrat senators who got money from Burisma, that's the natural gas company that Hunter from Ukraine that Hunter Biden was on the board of and got all this money for. A couple of Democrat senators got money from a natural gas company. Okay. Well, it's gas and oil. Burisma's both, I guess. And you know what they did? They decided that they should write a letter to President Obama during that time. And they should say, hey, why don't we send a whole bunch of U.S. taxpayer money over to Ukraine so they can, and they quoted, they showed the actual letter, increase Ukraine's oil and gas production. You know who these two senators were? Jean Shaheen, out of New Hampshire, former governor there, and Ed Markey from Massachusetts. Ed Markey is the co-sponsor, along with AOC, of guess what? The Green New Deal. So on one hand, he's talking about getting totally off gas and oil here in America. But then quietly, on the other hand, writing letters that, you know, look, these senators think these letters will never be known, right? And most of the time they won't, unless there's a reason to go looking for them. Well, somebody had the reason. So on one hand, he's announcing legislation and talking about how important it is that we get off of oil and gas in America to save the planet, because we only have 12 years left. But just a few years ago in the Obama administration, guess what he was doing? Because he got something like $60,000, I guess, in donations from this Ukrainian oil and gas company. He's writing a letter, well, hoping that the Obama administration would take our tax dollars and give it to Ukraine. Just give it to them so they could increase their oil and gas production. Don't you think it's a little hypocritical? I kind of do. By the way, Politico had a story over the weekend about impeachment. Apparently, according to some polling, it is a flop in these key suburban swing districts. What do we keep hearing about with Trump, by the way? Trump's losing women in key suburban districts. We keep hearing that. Is that true anymore? I mean, what's fascinating is that Limbaugh played, I think it was on Friday, the story about one of the left-wing news outlets went out to interview people, I think it was in Michigan, who had been Trump supporters, and trying to find those who had, because of impeachment, they're leaving Trump. What they found was just the opposite. It is galvanized. So let me ask you that question. If you're having, again, the purpose of this show is to give you interesting thoughts that you can ask others in the course of your life around your world, these questions, and get into conversations with them that maybe turn on the light bulb. Well, one of them would be this. It seems that polling is showing that people who were a little nervous about Donald Trump, including some people who voted for him, are now adamantly in favor of defending Trump and voting for him again because of impeachment. Do you think that's real? Are you hearing that? Are you seeing that in your world? Are there people around you that think, now it's an interesting conversation starter, because where does that lead you to? It leads you to impeachment. Because apparently impeachment, in poll after poll after poll, regardless of what they tell you, is not a winning political strategy. Because most people know, and they just do, that this whole business of Trump is nothing. This whole business of going after Trump, of of these trumped up accusations against him are nothing. People know it. Now, how do they know it? Well, they know it intuitively. This is the thing that the Democrats just are missing entirely. Is that people have an intuitive sense just about their politicians. And they get so cynical about them. You know, I was beginning to make that point, and it leads me to Governor Kate Brown. Governor Kate Brown, there was a story over the weekend. It was an Oregonian story by Hillary Baroud. And I have to say that I tweeted this because I saw, I think it was Bill Post, put a Twitter account post on it, sometime over the weekend. And I have Twitter on my smartphone, which listens to me illegally, I think, along with my iPads. That's a joke, folks. It sends me these alerts. So, you know, I see something from Bill. I typically will just take a moment, if I can, to look at it. Well, it was about the governor promising to be transparent. Since she has come into office, she's been anything but. Well, this headline of this story is that governor delays releasing public records, defying early promises. And this is important because it leads us to asking another question. What do you do to hold a lawless leader accountable in Oregon? There are only two ways, and I'm going to ask you to think about what those two ways might be. Because this story is, it just details how Kate Brown and her office are using a 2017 law, an exemption in that 2017 law. You know, for those of us in aviation, the old saying is, you know, a hole big enough to drive a Mack truck. Now, this is a hole big enough to fly a 747 through. Certainly not a 737 Max, but 747. So she's using this exemption in contrary to what the Attorney General, Ellen Rosenblum's own advisory opinion about this 2017 law is, because it has to do with the release of public records under Oregon law, which gives us, you and I, the ability to look into those records. And how she is using this exemption, she's abusing this exemption, folks, is really what the whole tone of this story is. But the upshot of this is this. There are two ways, in my personal experience, of being involved in politics all these years in Oregon, having served in the Oregon House of Representatives, there's two ways that we, the people, can keep, but rather hold, lawless elected officials. And it doesn't matter whether it's, by lawless, I mean those who just find ways to ignore the law. Like Kate Brown saying, hey, the death penalty doesn't matter. I'm just going to suspend it. I don't really have constitutional authority, but I'm just going to suspend it. She can commute sentences. And that's exactly what this new death penalty law that she signed into law and champion is going to do. But what do you think are the two ways? Maybe you can come up with others. But how we can hold a Governor Kate Brown or some other lawless public official elected in Oregon, how can we hold them accountable? Would they thumb their nose at the law when maybe they give us a peek? No, that's not poverty. $6.20 back at home.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We are back. It is 22 minutes past the top of the hour. Great to have you with us on a Monday. It is Politics with Your Coffee so that you can change your world. So I ask you this question. What are the ways that we, the people, can hold a rogue politician, a lawless politician, say Kate Brown. I mean, there are plenty of others out there, but what can we do? What can we do? There are really two ways. And so I'm just curious what you think about that. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. And emails to jeff@1220.am. jeff@1220.am. I'm watching Fox Business, and they're showing, this is interesting, PayPal co-founder Peter Thiel is backing this drone company. It's a drone company that creates killer drones to go kill other drones. And they're showing pictures of it. I mean, this thing tracks and finds other drones, and then it goes up and it hits them. And it just knocks them out of the sky. Now, that's a novel idea. Dwight sent me an email, by the way, from last week. And it was about evangelicals backing Trump. Dwight, thank you for the article. Because it is it's about Billy Graham's son, Franklin, who's a guy that I got to know many years ago. And it's a story out of Greenville, North Carolina. He spoke to thousands of Christians, didn't use the word impeachment. But they interviewed the people that were there. And a lot of the people that were interviewed there said, our country is in deep trouble. And Christians are not walking away from Trump. They think Trump is supporting, and they quoted one person here, saying Trump is supporting our Christian principles and trying to do his best. Everybody's against him. The impeachment furor, the article writes, this is an AP story, by the way, not exactly friendly to Donald Trump. The impeachment furor is the latest test of Trump's seemingly unbreakable bond with conservative evangelical Christians. Trump suggested this week that the peril of impeachment would only cement his ties to the voting bloc, which helped propel him into the office, and supporters have stood by him through accusations of sexual assault and infidelity, see no reason to back away from a president they view as unfairly beleaguered. Therein is the money quote from this story. So, again, in your daily your activity with other people, if the people that do talk about impeachment, maybe you want to talk about it, maybe you want to bring up the conversation, because this is the issue of fairness. Is he unfairly gone after? I mean, look at everybody that's going after his tax returns. I just saw a story across the Chiron that said a New York court has turned down Donald Trump's request that his New York tax returns not be made public. And you want to talk about a sense of how would you feel? This is a question you could ask in the course of these kinds of things, talking about Trump. How would you feel if, for purely political reasons, the courts, the attorney general of a state, decided to go after your tax returns and want your tax returns made public? How would you feel about that? Well, they might come back to you and say, well, hey, if I got nothing to hide, who cares? No. You see, federal law protects your information, your tax information. Okay? They have to go to federal court to get this overturned. This is unprecedented, folks. Now, that's federal law. It doesn't have to do with state law. So say Kate Brown didn't like the fact that I'm constantly talking about her lack of character and Kate Brown's and maybe she doesn't like the editorials written against her by virtually every major newspaper in the state about her lack of transparency. Maybe she doesn't like that. And maybe she decides to make an example of, say, me or maybe a newspaper editor that writes editorials critical of the governor. And maybe she decides that there's something there worth looking into. And she decides that she wants to look at your tax returns. She just can't. She can't call up the head of the Department of Revenue and say, show me Jeff Krupp's tax returns, hoping to find some dirt that she can use against me. She can't do that, folks. She would have to go to court. Now, do you want your tax returns known? No, that's my business. My tax returns are protected by state law. So in the course of your conversation with somebody, you could say, is it fair that for political reasons, Trump has states trying to find out his tax returns? How would you feel if somebody wanted to do that? How would you feel if Governor Brown did that to you? Because she didn't like the fact that you were critical of her. We're playing a game today. Excuse me. I am better, by the way, as you, I hope you can tell that. Who said, quote, Donald, you used to own a casino. You know the house always wins, unquote. Who was that? Who said that? 503-589-1220, 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. The governor delays releasing these. This is the other question I'm asking you because, you know, Kate Brown's not a popular governor in this state. She keeps, look, when you lose the major newspapers, folks, and she has, just, again, read the editorials. When you no longer have the mainstream media protecting you, like, say, the Oregonian has done for numerous Oregon Democrat governors over the years, you're in trouble. And in this article by Hillary Baroud, who's done, I think, an exemplary job of continuing to do what I think is fair reporting about the governor. Because you know what the one thing you don't want to do is you don't want to tick off the editors and the newspapers. You just don't. I know a lot of people don't read editorials in the Ricks and Mader newspapers like they used to. But still, when you've lost a newspaper, this entire article, we'll get into it when we come back, plus other things about guns in Oregon that you got to be watching out for in the future. We'll get into why this matters. You use it. Back in a moment, you're listening to Political Coffee. It is 6:30.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
That's right, friends. We are back, the beginning of a new week. It is 24 minutes till the top of the hour. Yes, I am your humble radio talk show host, former state representative and fifth generation Oregon farmer Jeff Krupp. In the immortal words of Chevy Chase, I'm Jeff Krupp, and you're not. You know, I miss that guy. He hasn't done anything for a while. And the thing I always liked about him was just his comedic. But you can tell I'm in a good mood, folks. It's always good when your talk show host is in a good mood. Here's what we're talking about. If you're just joining us, who said this? Quote, Donald, you used to own a casino. You know the house always wins. Unquote. Who said that? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. I'll let you know at the end of the show, okay? Or if you want to call and guess, we can do that too. All righty. The governor delays releasing public records. So what we're asking is this. How do you, in Oregon anyway, because other states are different, but in Oregon, how do we, the people, hold accountable a lawless governor or any lawless politician who basically says, you know what, I think I have wiggle room in the law and I'm just going to say no. I'm just going to say, even though Oregon's death penalty is in the Constitution, I'm going to say it doesn't apply. I'm just going to suspend it. Because I'm Queen Kate. I can do that. How do you overcome that? How do you overcome this story? I mean, there are two ways in my mind that you can do it. Maybe I'm missing a way. And I'll tell you what the two ways are. The headline of the story is Governor delays releasing public records, defying early promises. What she is relying on is a 2017 law that was meant for, it established a deadline, giving governments in Oregon 15 days to turn over the documents, or they have to cite a legal reason to withhold them. Now, this was meant for small, like school districts, small cities, fire departments, like the one I'm on, the Sublimity, or other local governments. There was an exemption in this law for these, and that makes sense, right? Doesn't it? For these small districts. I mean, a 15-day deadline for a fire district might be really, if it was a complex, in-depth request with lots of stuff, yes, you can charge for it. But because, frankly, you might have to spend some extra money for a small district to have to comply. There was an exemption for that. Well, guess who's relying on the exemption? Governor Brown. And as Hillary Baroud writes in this story, and I quote, "But the governor's well-staffed office is now relying on exemptions intended for small rural school districts or tiny cities with scant staffing to justify withholding public records for 9 weeks or longer." That's the gist of this story. Once again, Kate Brown, and this is, by the way, contrary to Ellen Rosenblum's, and this was her law, okay? Contrary to her advisory about this. So, what they have to do in the Attorney General's Public Records Manual, which Rosenblum issued earlier this year, that to invoke this exception, quote, "This agency is overwhelmed and running behind," unquote, or "everyone is on leave" exceptions. Those are not reasons. If you're going to say that, you have to prove it, basically, is what this circular says. Quote, "The public body carries the burden to demonstrate that one of these exemptions applies, and that the exemptions are intended to apply either to a very small public bodies or unusual circumstances. Public bodies with the resources to adequately staff its public records requests are expected to do so," unquote. Kate Brown, folks, has virtually all the resources she could ever want. Remember that the author of this article, Hillary Baroud, a reporter in the Oregonian, said it's a well-staffed office. That's only the half of it. Because you have to remember that the governor can reach into the public agencies, the government agencies that she oversees in the executive branch, and can say to, say, the head of the Department of Administrative Services, gal whom I happen to know, I've worked with for a long time, say, "You know what? I need some help with this. My staff needs some help with this. Can you get somebody in your office to help us figure this out or find this information, and quickly?" See, it's not just the governor's staff, folks. It's other people that she can rely on, the governor's staff can rely on, in addition to the governor, to fulfilling these public records requests. They are using it as an excuse. Okay, so that's the gist of the story. So here's how it's relevant. Here's how you hold, if you believe that this is an abuse, okay, and the story clearly does, if you believe it's an abuse, and this is the whole gist of this story, right? Then how do you hold somebody accountable? How do we hold Kate Brown accountable for this? Well, there's two ways. A recall petition, and if you want to sign the recall petition and you haven't, and folks, you've got 8 days left. Okay, You don't have much time left. There are two ways you can do it. KateBrownRecall.com. KateBrownRecall.com. Or FlushDownKateBrown.com. FlushDownKateBrown.com. Sign them both. You can go to those websites. You can print them off. Sign your name. Put it in an envelope. Put a stamp on it. Send it in. That's the first way. The second way is really what this story is leading to. What you're reading between the lines here is very simply what it is. The only other way you're going to hold this governor or any other elected official accountable is to sue them in court. Now, governors get sued, and it's never a, it's, I mean, it's always the attorney general's office then has to, it has to defend the governor, okay? All right, fair enough. But it's the only way you can do it. Now, I know the deck is a little stacked against us because Democrat governors stacked the deck with this scam that Kate Brown just exposed. Again, not being transparent, was just exposed over. That's Misha Isaac, that whole kerfluffle. Keeping the retirement of an appeals court judge secret and quiet, and then without letting anybody know, just appointing your lawyer to handle to be an appeals court judge. I know the deck is stacked against us in the Court of Appeals and the Oregon Supreme Court. That's a whole nother show how to fix that, folks. And we will eventually. But it's the only way. You see, if the governor is acting illegally, or at least on the margins thought to be illegally, like, oh, say, saying, you know what, the death penalty doesn't matter. I don't care that's in Oregon's Constitution. I'm just going to suspend it because I think it's immoral. Okay? You may think it's immoral, but the law says what the law says. You can't pick and choose, governor. So we're going to take you to court to see if maybe even left-wing judges will agree with us in the Court of Appeals or the Oregon Supreme Court. It's the only way, folks. It's either recall or you sue them. What do you think? 503-589-1220, 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Who said, quote, Donald, you used to own a casino. You know the house always wins, unquote. Who said that? Would love to hear from you, your guess as to who that might be. By the way, I want to remind you that CBD oil can really help you. It does me. Now, that's anecdotal because there's no proof to it other than you just trying it and see if it works for you like it does for me and like many other people that I know. Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care in South Salem, right on South Commercial next to Safeway, sells, I think, the highest quality product certainly that I've tried. It's called CannaShield. CannaShield. And it's sourced right here in the Willamette Valley. That's why it's high quality. Oregon standards, folks, believe me, all weekend for the last 2 weeks, I've been trying to harvest hemp because I am growing hemp for CBD oils, you know. Well, I have to adhere to Oregon standards. And believe me, they are the toughest in the nation. So you can be assured if you buy CBD oil, CannaShield brand from Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care, you're getting the highest quality. Go to their website, vimsalem.com. You can read a lot more about it. You can even buy it online, vimsalem.com. Let's go to the phones. We'll go to Art. Art, good morning. How are you, friend? You have a guess as to who said that quote?
No, Jeff, I always lose on that. I'm not going to guess today.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm tired of being wrong. So if I don't guess, then I can't be wrong. But anyways, so I do believe there's another way, Jeff, rather than just sue.
All right. Hang on. I'm going to keep you over the break because I pontificated too long there, Art. It's not fair to you. We'll be back in a moment with Art's thoughts, yours also. Who said it? And, somebody just emailed me with the right guess. All of that, your thoughts, Art's thoughts.
Feels fine. Feels like
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour. Great to have you with us. Our last segment for today. Yes, Christopher got it right. Who said, Donald, you used to own a casino. You know the house always wins. Yeah, Christopher got it right. He wrote me an email, said, Nancy Pelosi. I'll never forget that. So bold, admittedly witty, but scary. Cheers. Yeah. Admittedly scary. Because, you know, she's right about that. The house always wins, except that's in gambling. And she's smart enough not to be too much of a gambler. Because, you see, she's doing polling just like this political story by Joel Pollack that's in the Breitbart. An impeachment is a flop in key suburban swing districts. You want to know how to lose the House and put it back in the hands of Kevin McCarthy and the Republicans? Well, keep up with the impeachment thing. By the way, let's go back to Art. Art, good morning. How are you again? Your thoughts today?
Oh, I'm doing great, Jeff. I do believe that there is another way to go at Kate about
the
public record thing. There's the law, and I didn't have time to look it up, Jeff. But it's called their official misconduct laws, and there is a section in there about public records and stuff. And so you actually can go to your local district attorney's office and file an official misconduct complaint. So, hey, I'll try to dig it up for you, but you can Google it and dig it up, too. They're called official misconduct laws.
Interesting, because in all honesty, Art, over the years that I've been around politics in Oregon, I've never heard of that. In all sincerity, this is the first I've heard of it.
Well, hey, nobody knows everything, and that's why we all work together as a team to expose corruption and all that kind of good stuff. So I will try to dig it up. You try to find it, and then you can bring it up in tomorrow's show if you want to.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. If you would do that, I'd love to share it with people. Because, look, I'm for any tool, whether it's Kate Brown or it's a state senator, it's a representative, maybe it's your mayor or city council members, you know, that are acting inappropriately, I'm for every tool that we the people have to hold them accountable. Art, thank you, and
good
I look
afternoon.
Forward to having okay. you find that and bring it back to us. I'm going to hold you to it, friend. Okay? That's Art. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. I said I would get to guns in Oregon because that legislation's coming back in February is the word I have received recently. And before we talk about that, I'm going to remind you, nobody wants to think about life insurance. But, you know, you really should, especially if you have a younger family. And or maybe if you have debt, seriously. You know what? You don't want to leave your family without the resources to carry on without you. I mean, seriously. Again, nobody wants to think about this, but you should. It's the right thing to do. And nobody better to sit down and talk with that about if you're ready. And my friend Fred Thompson is the guy who shares your values, believes in liberty, believes in individual responsibility, believes in family, believes in serving, because he did. Why don't you call him? Fred Thompson, 503-428-7479. It's never too late, friends, to think about important things of your family. Taking care of them in case something happens to you. 503-428-7479. So guns are going to be back. Gun legislation is going to be back. It's going to be back with a vengeance for a couple of reasons in February. And here's what they are. One of the chief provocateurs in the Let's Take Away Your Second Amendment Right movement is Senator Jenny Burdick. Apparently, she's not going to run again for office. Now, that means that Jenny Burdick doesn't have to worry about any of this stuff, doesn't have to worry about the fallout of it. She can be free to do whatever she wants. She will be back with a vengeance. She will be twisting arms, cutting deals as much as she can to try to pass legislation in the Senate and in the House that would dramatically remove your Second Amendment rights or curtail it. It would infringe on it, folks, which is what the U.S. Constitution says. So there is, and I know this because I'm being told it by a number of people, okay? So there are going to be new gun restrictions, likely. Now, the Chronicle, which is a newspaper up in the St. Helens area, has a headline, Guns in Oregon, What You Need to Know. And it's common gun terms. Assault rifle. Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines an assault rifle as any of various intermediate-range magazine-fed military rifles that can be set for automatic or semi-automatic fire. Okay, assault weapon. Well, that's a little different, isn't it? Now, why is the focus on assault weapons? Well, because this article is pointing the way as to what they're going to do. You know they're coming after your AR-15. And they go through assault weapon, and they admit, well, it's a political term. Okay, and of course there's this assault weapons ban state initiative. And it defines assault weapons as semi-automatic rifle that has the capacity to accept a detachable magazine. So my little old 22 rifle, varmint gun, is now an assault weapon. Talks about AR-15, it talks about automatic firearm, it talks about what a firearm is. It defines what a handgun is, a long gun, a magazine, a revolver, a rifle, a semi-automatic, and then it talks about gun laws, open carry. Because we can carry a gun openly in Oregon without a license, according to our Constitution. However, a pre-exemption states that a city or county may restrict the presence of loaded firearms in public places. Portland, Beaverton, Tigard, Oregon City, Salem, and Independence have such restrictions. Chain stores can also do it. Safeway, Walgreens, CVS, Pharmacy, Walmart, Fred Meyer, that they don't want open carry. Even if the state allows it, they ban it. They can do that. They go on to talk about concealed carry. Can I buy a gun? Now, I say all of this, folks, because this is central to the understanding of what's coming down the road at us. All of this is just political, folks. Every bit of it. That's why we need to be aware of it. That's why you need to be informed and be aware of the arguments you can use to persuade the persuadable. Hope you've enjoyed the show today, friends. I'm back tomorrow. Hope you are too. So start your car, get out there and make it a great day. It's really up to you. See you tomorrow.